Radio.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, The Refreshment of the Gospel.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, I'd like to just look with you at the refreshment of the gospel, the great good news by which we are saved in Jesus Christ. Because frankly, I think for most of us, we're done with all the worldly news that we've been hearing lately. That's just been so negative for so long. What we really need to hear is the good news that comes from heaven to us. I like this verse. Think about this great verse in Proverbs 25, verse 25. It says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. So think of this pitcher of cold water here, and here you are very thirsty. What we want from God is from heaven, that far country is heaven. The good news is the gospel. We want that poured down into our souls to fill us richly with the good news of the gospel. Oh, it's cold. It feels good. You know, when you drink of the good news, the refreshment of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it goes down in the innermost parts of our soul, and it revives us. It renews our strength. It renews and vivifies our joy and makes us alive again. And so let's take today and just look at the good news from heaven, that good news from a far country up above that has come down to us in Jesus, because it is power and it is might. It is God's work in our lives to bring us to life. So let's look at the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Drink of the river, from the stream, from the well, from the reservoir, from the lake, from the ocean of God's goodness in Jesus Christ. So let's do that starting out in Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. We'll look at those two verses to start. For Paul says here, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there we hear that word, the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Yeah, the word in the Greek is euangelion. Eu is the first part, eu, which means good. Angelion is the word from which we get the word angel. Angelion, angel. An angel is a messenger. So it's the good angel to us. It's the good messenger. It's the good message to us, the good news that comes to us from God. So the first thing we want to know about the gospel is it is good news. Say good news. It ain't bad news. If it sounds bad, it's not the right gospel. It's good news. It's not something that puts you down. It lifts you up. It doesn't depress you. It's meant to bring you joy and overflowing. It's not there to crush you, but to give you life and lift you out of death into life. So the first thing to know about the gospel, it is good. And what we're going to hear today from God is good, and should refresh your soul like this water from a far country. The second thing here is, Paul says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation, etc. So say the word power.
Power.
All right. That word in the Greek is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. It is the dynamite of God. It's the great strength. It's the might of God contained in a word. Now, it might sound kind of crazy to think that a word can have power to it. And yet, you know that even in your own lives, words that we share with each other can be very powerful to the lifting or destroying of a soul, right? Hopefully to the lifting of it. But you know what? God's word is powerful. He created the world, you know, by his word. And this gospel, Paul says, contained in it is the power of God, the dunamis of God. Okay, so what is it for, though? What's the purpose of the gospel? The gospel, he says, is the power of God for salvation. So the purpose is to save. So say, to save. The purpose is to rescue you, to rescue me, to lift us up, to pluck us up, to take us out of a mire, a bog of muck, and set our feet upon a rock. That's what he wants to do in the gospel. He wants to take us, if you will, out of the wild waves of the sea. We're getting tossed around in sin, chaos, and death, and to lift us up and put us on the deck of a ship with a very stable, safe ship, the ship of Christ's salvation. That's what he wants to do in the gospel. The purpose of this powerful word and message that I'm even sharing with you today is to save and to rescue you, to give you life in Jesus' name. Next, consider this. Who does the gospel save? Who does God intend to save with it? The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when it says Jew and Greek, that just simply means Jew and non-Jew, means everybody. The whole world, God wants to bless and save everybody, Jew and Greek, Jew and non-Jew, everybody on earth. There's nobody exempted. You're not exempted. There's nobody ignored. There's nobody excluded. Not one. God wants to save all, and through faith. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. That means everybody who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. You get life in him, salvation. It means that we are to put our trust in him, to believe what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, to believe that today. Salvation is theirs, to these who believe through this word, the power of God in the word of the gospel. So look more at that in just a second, but let's turn to another passage and see what we're going to get saved from, or what we are saved from. Okay? You already know this, but this is good to always refresh ourselves in it. Ephesians 2. Paul says, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So let's see what we get saved from in those couple of verses. First, he starts off saying, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." So what's the first thing we get saved from is death, right? Not only physical death, but really it's a spiritual death, because we were walking while we were dead in our trespasses. So, you know, we had physical being, we were moving, but we were walking in sins and evil. And so according to God, we were spiritually dead. That means you had eyes that did not see Jesus Christ as Savior. You had ears that were deaf to his word of truth. We all had hands that went after injustice and evil, and feet that walked in the ways of ruin and misery, as Paul says in Romans 3. We had a heart that was a heart of stone, a stony heart. It was not alive to God. And all those things were dead. We needed to be saved from death. That's number one. Second thing we needed to be saved from, he says here, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working the sons of disobedience." So the spirit of the power of the air, who's that? That's the devil. So that's the second thing we had to be saved from, is this prince. Notice, that's a very powerful name. He is at a very high position of strength. And I like to think a good description of the devil would be Leviathan. Remember him and that dragon described in Job 41. Let me just read a few parts of that. Think about this in describing our enemy. Who's at work in the world today, as you well know? "Round about his teeth is terror." He's a dragon, right? "Out of his mouth go forth flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. In his neck abides strength, and terror dances before him. His heart is hard as a stone, hard as another millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. At the crashing, they are beside themselves." I mean, if it were not for Christ coming in to save us, who could stand before such a beast as the devil? We needed to be saved from his clutches. That's number two. The third thing we had to get saved from here is, well, let's read it and see if you can discover. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. So what is it, Michael?
Renewing your mind.
Yeah, renewing your mind. That's true.
Romans chapter 12,
okay. 2. All right, good. But we had to be saved from the world, right? Because we were all part of this big group. Wasn't a good group. You know, the world likes to think, oh, we're so good. We're rosy, we're peachy, we're so wonderful. God says you're a bunch of rebels. I mean, the world is a bunch of rebels in God's eyes. They claim to be good, but they deny God by their deeds. So we needed to be saved from the world because the world was following the devil, who's the deceiver of the whole world. And it's still going on out there. Most of the world is not saved, that they don't know Jesus, that is. They're still dead in their trespasses, following the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's the devil. And they are rightly called sons of disobedience because their eyes are not open to God. They don't hear his word. Their hands go after injustice. Their feet walk in the ways of ruin and misery. And in their paths are death. And, you know, if we were part of that group and we weren't saved out of that, we would share their eternal destiny, which is the fourth thing we needed to be saved from, which is wrath. Let's read that. Among these we all once lived, says Paul, in the passions of our flesh. That's what you were saying, Michael. Following the desires of our body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So at one time we were all under wrath. That's condemnation. The word in the Greek is orge. The word means God's anger, his wrath, and his fury. And do you know that God's anger yet burns today, hot against sin? And it's going to burn in full force at the day, at the very last day, at the return of Christ. This wrath we were all once under on account of our sins. And so if you think about it, we were sinking down, going deep, heading to the abyss with a rock tied around our neck and around our feet. Our sins, they were sinking us. And if this was not remedied, well, we would share the fate of the unbelievers, which is one end. God has fixed a day upon which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed. And if this is given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. The wrath at that day would be eternal. That's really something you want to avoid. And we'd be driven away at the great judgment under the charge of rebels, never to see the light again if God did do something to save us. So those are the things we need to be saved from. So we've got death, we've got physical and spiritual death, we've got the devil, we've got to be saved from being sons of disobedience and from destruction. Okay. Did you like how I put it all together with D's? That's a very good alliteration, wasn't it? No, just kidding. But now, let's get to the gospel. This is good news, refreshment from a far country, poured down from us from on high. I drink deeply of it again. Let's drink deeply of that word. Let's open up the Bible here again to Ephesians 2 and read the next verse, which is verse 4. Next page here. Let's turn the page. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And that drink good down into your heart and soul. Think about that word, but. Let's start with that word, but. That is one of the greatest words in the whole Bible. It's my favorite word, maybe. But cancels out everything that came before it. You know, if you were in a class, imagine a teacher, she says to you, class, you all got F on the test today. But you'd be like, oh, cool. There's good news coming because I'm not going to fail because the but just canceled out the F. But I'm going to do something for you that will make it that you can all succeed and pass. You knew that good news was coming the moment I said the word but, or she said the word but. Well, here we have a word. You were dead. You were following the course of the world. You were in your sins and trespasses. You were following the devil. You were a son of disobedience. You were under wrath. You were heading to destruction. But means all that is gone. All that is gone because it says but God. In the Greek, ha de theos. Ha theos is God. Duh means but. Everything before it is canceled out because of God, what he does for us. And what does he do for us? But God, let's read it here. Let's open up the Bible again. It says, but God, say but God.
But God.
All right. But God, who's rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. I like to say free gift, because every gift is free. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, are you drinking with me? That's good news from a far country poured down to us from heaven. I'm drinking deeply of that one today. It's the power of God to save me. So let's think about this. This is the good angel, the good message, the good news that God's done something wonderful for us. It says here that he sent Christ to save us, to make us alive, even when we were dead. So say, I am alive. That is true in the gospel, which has the power to do this for you. And it says, we were raised up. We were taken from a low position and placed with Christ in heavenly places to sit with him. Come up here, sit with me, God says, in Christ, to redeem us and to save us. And how? Well, that word, it says, by grace you have been saved. So the word for grace in the Greek is charis, which means God's undeserved. Unmerited favor towards you. In other words, you didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You're not getting it as compensation for work done. You were a rebel. You were a sinner. You were a son of disobedience. But even then, God cherished you. God loved you. God esteemed you highly. God prized you greatly. He wanted to do something great because he, of his own goodness, because of the goodness that's in him, not of the goodness that was in us, looked on us and loved you. Isn't that a great word? He loved you to save you by grace. Why? Paul says here, because God is rich in mercy. It's just pouring out like a big treasure trove of jewels and rubies and gold coins. You open up the chest, he's flowing with mercy. And it says not just love, but great love. Love even for dead rebels. Even then he cared for us to make us alive together with Christ. If you look in the Strong's Greek lexicon, it says grace carries this meaning and flavor with it, is that it causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor, acceptance. For a kindness granted or desired, a benefit, it results in thanks and gratitude, a favor done without expectation of return, the absolute free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and the benevolence of the giver, unearned and unmerited favor. Isn't that great? You know, because a lot of times we think, God will only love me if I'm a good guy, if I'm perfect, and if I've achieved perfection, and if I'm not like one of his angels or his son, God will never like me. But you know what? God says, I loved you even when there was nothing likable about you.
Amen.
You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn this. But I loved you. I love you now. And I will love you forever. I came to save you because I delight in you. Even when you were dead, I wanted to do something great for you. And I could see who I could make you into, to be my own son, to live with me forever as my friend. This is what we've been brought into already in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's good news from a far country. Drink it. And we did it, we got it through Jesus Christ, as you know. That's where everything came, through this one man, God's son. For all of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him, the Christ, the iniquity of us all. All those sins, all those trespasses, all those wrongs, they were all laid upon one person, God's son. The Son of Man, Jesus says, came to seek and to save the lost. That's you. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what does the word ransom mean? In the Greek, that word is lutron, which comes from a verb that means to free or to loose. So it's about setting at liberty people who are in chains. The lexicon says it's a ransom or a price paid for redeeming captives, loosing them from their bonds, setting them at liberty, and it applies spiritually to the ransom paid by Christ for the delivering of men from the bondage to sin and death. So he's way up there in heaven, in this heavenly country. He looks down on us and we're sinking. We're going down with a stony weight that's just going to plunge us into the darkness of the abyss. And he says, I'm going to come all the way down, if you can picture it. He's going to come all the way down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ, just like that water getting poured. And he comes down to lift us up. He says, take all those stony sins, that heavy weight, lay it on me. I'll bear it for them. Because the penalty for sin is death. There must be a death on account of sin. Justice demands a sentence. Christ says, but I'll go and take that sentence upon myself. God says, I will accept a sacrifice, a substitute, so that they don't have to die. Son, go and die for them, and I'll raise you up, and I'll raise them up through you. That's the good news.
Amen.
Amen. God so loved the world, says the Bible, that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want you to focus on that word love, though. It's great love. God cares for you. You are precious in his eyes. He wants great things for you. He pictures in his mind what a relationship I can have with these people when I redeem them in Christ. It's going to give them joy forever, and I'm going to get to pour out who I am, which is grace and kindness and love, and it's going to be a wonderful party of salvation with my people. That's what he's after. For God sent his Son, the Son, into the world, not to condemn the world. It's not why he came, to destroy us or the whole world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he who believes in him is not condemned. So how then do we receive that salvation? By faith, right? We read here again, going back to Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved. Unmerited and undeserved kindness in Christ. You've been saved through faith. So say through faith.
Through faith.
It's not your own doing. Get it through our thick skulls, right? It's hard to do that, but it's not your own doing. It's the free gift of God, because every gift is free. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. So faith simply receives a gift that God gives to us. It's not compensation for your works done. It's not a reward for your righteousness. We had no righteousness. It's not something we got like a salary at the end of your work week. Your salary would have been destruction. But it's a gift. Just, it's a free gift. It's something, picture, just say free gift. God wraps it up in Jesus, hands it to us, and says, just simply receive it and say thank you. And that's what faith really is. It's just saying, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done. I believe that. I receive it. And that should produce in us joy unbounded. Paul says, lest any man should boast. In other words, if I could be saved by my own goodness and you saved by your bad, you destroyed by your badness, I could boast of you over you. That I was good and you were bad. But Paul says, uh-uh. That's got nothing to do with the truth. The gospel makes that impossible. The gospel says we were all dead. You and me, we were all sinners. Sons of disobedience, following the devil, heading to destruction, children of wrath like everybody else. We're all on the same level playing field, all in the same boat. And there's only one person we can boast in. Who's that? As Jesus Christ. Let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. And so that's a beautiful gospel, because I can't boast over you. You can't boast over me. There's no pride left in this gospel, because frankly, we're all sinners, and we don't want to have our sins seen, do we? Hey, we've all got it, but it's all covered in Jesus Christ, the same for every one of us. And so all of us together, from every stripe and color and place, all do one thing. We praise Jesus Christ. God, all the glory to him. His stripes, by his stripes and his wounds, I'm healed. Amen. Not to us, says Psalm 115, but to thy name give glory for the sake of thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness. And we have this certainty. Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. And therefore, it is like cool water to a thirsty tongue from a far country. Think of it again. You, in Christ, are redeemed, saved, restored, blessed, loved, lifted up, brought to life, given the honor of a title of a son of God, with the promise of the hope of sitting on the throne with God in the world to come. And all this with the joy of God pouring over you like a waterfall, like a rainbow, sending down jewels upon you every day. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is like a fresh breeze from God, from heaven, blowing like a wind into our souls to revive us today from all the world's news. But we got good cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. But a final word here is what we got to do with this gospel, especially in our day and age, is to drink it. You know, we've got enough of the poison that the world wants to pour into us daily. And if all you do is look at the news, and I think we've all felt that a bit, it just is poison. It's poison inside of us. What God says is if this beautiful pitcher of water is pouring down and you've got this on the counter, don't just pass by it and say, yeah, that's a nice glass of water. He says, no, drink of it. Take it in every day. Just keep drinking. Keep drinking some more. Drink in this gospel, this good news all the time. Because if I go without water, pretty soon I'm like a shriveled up prune, right? A dried up grape, a raisin. And, you know, you can't do that physically and you can't do that spiritually either. We just got to keep drinking. Just keep drinking. Keep drinking. Keep getting that into you. And you know, in the gospel, you can say of the world, I'm just a passing guest, a sojourner here like all my fathers. I acknowledge that I'm but a stranger and an exile here on the earth. But I'm a saint, and I'm seeking a homeland, and I desire a better country. That's a heavenly one. And therefore, I know that God's not ashamed to be called my God, for he's prepared for me a city. You know, I got a postcard here. Cape Cod, I love to go there. Well, our postcard here is in the Bible. We know where we're going, friends. We got a great heavenly country. We all know that already now we are justified by faith. We have therefore peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're friends with him. And we have a hope for tomorrow. For God raised us up in Christ. By grace you've been saved, so that in the coming ages, says Paul, God might show to us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, your future is bright because the meek shall inherit the earth. And according to his promise, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yes, Peter says, by God's great mercy, we've been born anew to a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, even now, are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So drink deeply of the water of the reservoir of God's salvation to you in Christ. For like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Refreshment of the Gospel, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or you'd just like to stop by and visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls, and God bless you.